rescued, you give us clothes, we are very happy with you. He says, but do you know how I earned them? He says, what? How? 99 times I killed poor people to bring home to you all this booty. How? He says, will you share in all that has happened to me? No, you don't. We don't want to become co-sharers in that. So that gave him a thought. I'm all by myself. All the time I toiled and labored and soiled my hands, thinking that I must share the booty with them so that they may be my co-sharers. They are my family, but nobody seems to be my family. Nobody seems to be my own. That gave him a spirit of renunciation immediately. And he went on in search of somebody who could give him peace of mind and some sort of solace. He went for years together, here, there, there, everywhere, nothing happened. He tried to search the perfect master, but the perfect master was never to be found anywhere. Well, he's so disappointed, he's so sad, he does not know what to do. And he comes to a city one day, and there, he's standing on the crossroads there, does not know. He looks at the people around him, and he's so sad, so disappointed, so frustrated. Somebody comes and says, what's the matter with you? Why are you so sad? Why are you so unhappy? So he looks around and says, well, I'm supposed to be unhappy. I'm sad because my fate is this. I'm in search of somebody who can give me some comfort. So what's the matter with you? So I'm a murderer. I have committed 99 murders and nobody knows it. And I'm scot-free. And I now just want peace of mind. I want my heart to be clean of all this. He says, well, don't. He went in search of the master. He couldn't find him because it was not his time. When his time did reach, the master tapped him on the back at the crossroads there in the city itself. That's how it is always. When the time was right for him. So, then the master says to him, do exactly as I tell you. And the whole thing is just the same repetition. Do exactly as I tell you. So he says, I'm prepared to do what you tell me. So he says, all right, come on. So he takes him, leads him to the fringe of a forest there, or almost inside a forest area, and says, look here, be seated here all the time. You will know what to do and when to leave this place. Be seated here. But then you'll feel hungry. Never mind, you go to the village, beg for your food, eat there, and come and sit exactly at this spot. See the spot? Yes. This is the spot where you should sit. When you feel like moving your bowels, go out and come back and sit there. When you're thirsty, go to the spring and drink water and come and sit here and repeat my name. That's what the master told him. And asked him whether he would be able to follow him, whether he would be able to do it. He said, yes, I'll be able to do it. He'll do it. Till such time, you'll know when to stop it. And the master left. And he was very happy that at least he found somebody who could say something and comfort him and give him solace. So he sat there. Years passed by, he became very old and he still went on, and all the neighborhood, you see, came to know that he's a good person and he's so docile and humble and all that. And people were very happy with him. He was not the one who would harm anybody or anything of the sort. In the meantime, the authority of the place, you see, thought of improving the road systems. So what they started clearing the forest areas and all that. Unfortunately or fortunately, it so happened that it was so planned that the road passed through exactly, that was the central point where he was made to sit all the time. So these workers who came to make the roads or repair the roads, whatever you call it, those were the roads not for cars, or they were not the airstrips or anything. They were just the tracks created for horse riding people, you see, at the time. So, through the forest. So people knew that he was a good person. He was a saintly person. He was a pious person. So they tried to dodge it. Whenever he would go out for begging, whenever he would go out for other courses and all that, when he's absent, they would come and clear the road for that particular. They didn't disturb it. So when he came back, he couldn't find a place, but still he somehow or other judged and came and sat on the spot. And what he finds, he's sitting right in the center of the route. Unfortunately or fortunately, he finds that way, but my master has told me to sit, so I sit there. And he continues to repeat the name of the master. That's all. Years again passed by, and one day it so happened, a person, a very haughty person, comes riding on the horses, seemingly very important, and he was the royal emissary, carrying the orders from the command of the king, royal command, to the governor of another state in the same kingdom. And there he finds somebody sitting right in the center of the road. How dare he do that? So instead of, what's the matter? He said, just take the steed up, away from him. He could have passed away. But he stopped there and says, hey, do you know that this is the highway? So he was just repeating the master's name. That fellow was so haughty, you know, the royal emissary. He just wept him. All that subdued passion of his was aroused. He jumped and he knew the trick, you see, the throttle. That fellow was the 100th murder that he committed. No sooner he committed the 100th murder, he realized God. This is the story that Baba told us. Now, why did he realize God after committing 100 murders? Why? And that's the law of karma. This is the law of karma that we have to wait for.
Change your name, you have to change in this.
Do you know how about that? I don't like to answer.
Why? Why is it that at the 100th murder, Baba asked him this question, why is it that just when he has committed the 100th murder, he realizes God? Why is it so? That's why Baba says that the intricacies of the laws of karma are so delicate and so fine that you will never be able to fathom. What had happened was, why did he realize God? He should have been cast in the worst inferno. Dante's inferno would be nowhere in comparison to what he deserved. But still he got realization. What is it? What made him realize it? So Baba said that this is the trick that is in the laws of karma. He was carrying the death warrant for 100 innocent souls that seems to have displeased the royalties. So he was carrying the death warrant for 100 innocent souls to be killed. Had the messenger gone there to the governor, and the royal command was there that so and so should be executed. 100 innocent souls would have died for nothing at all. Without the knowledge of doing anything wrong, you see. But it is not in their karma to be dead by that time, you see. Their karma was to continue to live. So what had happened was, it all precipitated the 100th murder. This man who had committed 99 murder, he couldn't be released unless 99 times he is killed, or that he saves 99 lives. So he saved, by killing this 100th man there, he saved 100 lives there. So the balance was nil. That's why he's released. So that's how the law of karma acts and reacts. And if we were to pay attention on the laws of karma, we'd go crazy, nuts. Nothing to do with that. We are not dealing with all that. But still, it works. It is there. It's inexorable. It has to happen like that. It must be so. But we are not supposed to give any cognizance to it. We just keep ourselves aloof from it. All what we want, if we want to involve ourselves, is to just involve ourselves in praising Him and glorifying Him. That's all. So that's the story. Now, Cookie has asked another question. Between 700 and 1400. Yes, welcome. It's like this, you see. Now, if you want to speak of Nirvana, just 5 years have passed. If you were to know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we would go to any place, you see, we'd have to talk for hours together trying to tell about Mehta. Who is Mehta? Listen, I said, God. A crazy person. God. Now they give a hearing. There are people who have heard now. Oh, Mehta Baba. Yes, we know. We know. Just keep quiet about it. He's a crazy guy, you see. He calls himself God, you see. There are some, yes, tell me. Please let me know. Yes, I have heard about him. Please let me know something more about it. There are some, you see, they come flying over here like birds, you see, to gather some more information about him. Then there are some who would do anything, who would give up everything and come, you see. And they are They are crazy people. There are here, still here people. Yes. They are sitting outside on the veranda. They have done such things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, like that. But then what happens is, just as that, we see gradually what is happening. The world is trying to gradually accept, at least to keep quiet, and then to be eager to know more, and so forth and so on. There is a progression in the eagerness to know about him. A time comes when there is no need to give a lecture, there is no need to tell anything about it. On the contrary, the world is aroused to the fact that he had been here, and we must know whether he was the real one. Just as you have all the universities and so many religious camps and classes holding, having lectures and all that, group meetings are there on whether Jesus Christ was the Christ or was a fake, was a myth. Anywhere you go in the world and you just say, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know itself? Mm-hmm. We do not have to introduce him, you see. That's how the world will come to know in that sense. Nobody will come to know of him unless and until one becomes him. You see? Howsoever, I don't know him, how am I to know him? I have recognized in him what he says. I don't know him unless and until I become one with him. But then the world will come to know of him is that in that sense. Yes, there's no need for any introduction. Say Father more than they do. Give Father news of whether he is right, he is true, he is that, and no, don't need to introduce him. We know what he has said and all that. That's how the world will know. The whole world will know. And then what happens, you see, then gradually when the knowing of the world in that sense rises to a zenith, then by that time there will be many things that will take place. Then what happens, we'll shroud him with all sorts of ceremonies, and some would say that, well, he is a mythical figure and all that, and all sorts of things happen. Just then he condescends to come back, you see, on this ceremony. I am the one that has told you that I've come after 700 years. I have come. How can you do it? Well, you have not broken your silence. The one who break his silence, you come as a thunderclap to us on the earth. You will be the one who was expected again. What is a thunderclap? We can't accept you now. You know, the world, the trend of the world will be such that, well, his next coming will be in thunder, as a thunderclap, as a bolt, you see, that he'll come. And that's the sign that he has come again to break his silence. That's the breaking of his silence again. That's all. Oh, it's all these castles in air built by human minds. But where the heart is concerned, let alone Baba and his silence, we love him. That's all. And they are the ones, you see, who reach it. The others remain in universities and campuses. Go high, you see, with the trips. We don't care for that. What else? What puzzle? Tell.
I'm very much outnumbered here in that I don't accept Baba, but I'm here to feel more comforted by it in thinking that I shouldn't strive any further, that it doesn't really matter. It's best not to pretend that you feel something when you don't.
Yeah, that he would prefer that, you see. He would want that. He would want you to be most natural. Leave it to him. Leave it to him. And he will give, his grace will give you that feeling. But if you continue to pretend to be what you don't feel, you see, in order to please Bernard or please John or please John, who is no more with us and is with Baba, you see, and just for the sake of giving them happiness, well, that won't do, that won't last, you see, that won't please him. You should just face the whole situation, face it boldly, and well, you are prepared, you are with an open mind, open heart, you are there, you see. Well, Baba, at least you can do this. Without pretending, Baba, if you what you are, if you are that, why didn't you help me?
It's okay to make any difference to Baha'i, right?
No, but you can ask, it does make a difference to him, you see. Because he is there, he is love, so love needs a cure. Otherwise, you see,
no,
he gets
suffocated.
No, that's
what I can't feel, you know, I don't,
so that's
I don't
what I'm saying,
no,
he needs a flaw, he needs an excuse to go through you.
Yes, I don't reject him, but I can't honestly say that I love him, and that's...
How can you? Nobody will be able to. Nobody. Diane, it's too presumptuous on our part to say that we love him. Too presumptuous. You can't, unless and until he gives you the gift. But he's waiting for an excuse to give the gift. You see that? So ask him, and he'll give you. Because he is love. Love needs a flow. It's a constant flow. It needs channelized. It needs to be channelized. He is expectantly waiting where it's to be channelized. He wants to water the garden, the orchard. It's like that. He needs some sort of excuse. Any little thing would be all right. And when naturally he cannot, his hands are all tied up, you see. So he puts you in a very straitened situation, and there he says, oh, Baba, well, whatever you are, if you are real, please help me. And then it's like that. So either when one is so flexible and malleable, it's very good, it's a very happy atmosphere. But when one is very rigid and all that, then he puts one through fire and makes him or her malleable, you see, or flexible. But he will never close his doors on anyone. There will be a day. Wait patiently. You shouldn't be impatient. You just wait. Never try to do everything with. Just if Bernard loves Baba so deeply and all that, allow him to love. Don't come in his way. And at the same time, help him. But that doesn't mean that when you should say that, well, if somebody asks you, do you love Baba? You just look at Bernard. Bernard exchanges his glance. Yeah. Never do that. Remember that. He won't like it. He will be very wild and upset with Bernard, you see, for having just simply say that it is enough for me that my Bernard loves God. Don't speak that joke. You see, that he has taught us many wild things. Not wild, but wily ways. He is so innocent, so pure, but at the same time, he is so sagacious too. We know the ways of the world. You won't. You will think that we are very innocent people, but we know the other ways too, you see. We can speak of things, you see, without saying that it's a lie. It's like that. Just the solution is, well, I'm quite satisfied with Bernard's love for Baba. That's how it is. Baba always emphasized the fact that we should always speak the truth, no doubt about it. But at the same time, speaking the truth does not mean that you should become aggressive.
No.
He wanted us to be very loving, very kind, very, very kind. So, but I never knew that. I thought that speaking of the truth was something very bold and fine and courageous, you see. Because my mother had once told me the story of Washington and all that. I don't know, was it Washington?
Yeah.
You see, you're very in our thoughts, you see, from Washington and all that. You see how that rose plant was destroyed. That's
cherry
the story.
Tree.
Cherry tree. Was it cherry? My mother had told me about the rose. Whatever it be. Are you sure it was a cherry tree?
Yeah.
We all know that. Maybe it isn't true.
But it was, my mother told me that it was the rose plant that she liked most. So that's how it was, you see. That's how my mother inculcated me the spirit of speaking the truth. So when I was speaking the truth with Baba, of course I had an opportunity to express truth and feel proud about it, which was a wrong thing. It's not the thing that is absolutely, it's abhorred by Baba. When you speak the truth, it's to help others. Baba says, when will you speak the truth? When will you have spoken the truth? When you have helped others in your having spoken the truth. Otherwise it's not truth. So, she seems to be very much interested in you. When will you have spoken the truth? When you have helped somebody in having spoken the truth. Otherwise, it's no truth at all. So then he gave me this story on the other hand. So I used to be like that. I used to be very I thought I was very prudent, and I was sticking to fast and speak the truth and all that. One day he calls me, it was at Satara, mind you, I still remember the town also. He says, Eraj, come here. I said, I don't like you, the way you speak the truth. I said, you don't want me to speak the truth? He says, well, I would like not to hear you speak the truth, but this is not the way that you should speak the truth. I didn't know what else could there be, you see, still lying instead of speaking the truth. So he says, now, just hear the story, he says. That will give you some idea of how you should speak the truth. It should be to help others. When you speak anything, speak the truth, but with a motive, intention, to be of help to others. So the story will give you a good picture. At the time of Muhammad, it so happened. This is what he told me. That there were prayer houses created at the time of Muhammad. Just like this hall, you may call it. And at the entrance there were two parapets built there, you see. Benches of masonry built there. And why were they built? Just for people who were not praying inside the prayer house to sit there. You just keep quiet and sit there. Just as you have those benches there now. Those who are not inside, they are outside there. So two benches were there, you see, facing each other. Parallel to each other. So, after Muhammad had dropped the body, his close disciple Ali was seated outside there, just quietly, thinking about Muhammad, something like that. He was the lion of his age, Ali was that. He was there, not knowing what to do, maybe, we don't know, or might be thinking about his beloved Lord, something. All of a sudden there comes running a person and says, Ali, save me. So Ali says, go inside. So he opens the door and goes inside, comes inside the hall here. Ali said nothing. From one seat here, he changed the seat. He was seated on this seat, on this side of the door. He changed the seat on that side of the door. He sat there and just continued to sit. Within 5 minutes, the crowd comes running and stops at Ali and says, Ali, did you see the scoundrel getting inside? Did you see him here? He says, not since I have been sitting here. Baba says, how it is? So then, it's not saying the truth. You may say that he lied it. He said the truth. Not since I am sitting here. That, and people thought that, well, Ali can never speak the untruth. He always speaks the truth. So they left and he protected the man. Without saying a lie. So, we attach values that this is truth and this is lie and all that. It's not that. The motive behind it is to help others get out of a tight corner. Now don't go on telling the stories, carrying tales like that and make other people speak lies. The blame comes to me then. This is just an eye-opener to you people as to how you all should act and behave. Not feel proud that you speak the truth. Nothing. There's no pride in that. Pride is in trying to help others. Trying to help others get out of a very awkward situation. Trying to help others in keeping mum instead of speaking the truth. I know a certain character in the world. The persons are there. People know and they come to me and ask, you know that person? Of course, you all were together. How was he? How is she? Can you tell me about his or her character or anything? I said, what? So if I were to blurt out the thing, I would be speaking the truth. Don't you think so? Because I know it.
But that's not the truth.
But that's not the truth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean now? What Baba wanted us to do, that's not the truth. The truth is to keep mum. To help others. To help that person rise above all these things. He has fallen, she has fallen. That doesn't mean that I just put my foot over it and put my weight on it and keep her, allow her to just remain pinned there on the floor. No. Give a helping hand and get out. There will come a time when she'll be again there out, or he will be out in the world, and we'll be happy to greet each other and all that. So my having said the things because people ask me, I said it. It's not that. That's not the truth. The truth is, keep mum. So these are the various aspects of speaking truth.
parents, could you say a few words about Baba's meaning of serving others, even at discomfort to yourself?
This is one ready example is here. Haven't I served the person concerned, you see, even at discomfort? I know, I could have said whatever it be, you see, and all that, but I just said, well, don't ask me this, it's best that you mind your own business. Just like that. Or there are so many other things, so simple, and the discomfort of others means what? That now suppose, I am all that, to give you a concrete example of how we should serve others at the cost of our own, what did you say, comfort?
Of ourselves.
Yes, at the cost of our own comfort. Mm. You want an example of it, right from Baba? Do you want to hear the story? Mm. It was Baba's birthday. One of the days when Baba was, I forget, I think it was 1954, I think there's a film also of it, when people are coming from all parts of India, and there are some foreign Westerners who have come from foreign countries and all that. So, a program, Sahavas program was there. You know what Sahavas is? Companionship of the Lord, you know. So it was held there, and at Mehrabad. Now what had happened? Go. At the cost of our own comfort, we should please them. We'll come back after. And people had come from different parts of India, and he had divided the whole stay of the pilgrim, the Sahavasis, his close ones, into four sections according to the language group. It was necessary for him to divide because when Baba gave, first of all, Baba observed silence. And you know, when he observed silence, anything that he wanted to be conveyed had to be conveyed through the interpreter. And usually he mixed the languages, you see, in his conveying the thoughts and all that. He would simultaneously use English, Marathi, Gujarati words, you see, in a sentence like that. But the interpreter would interpret in English. So I used to interpret in English, and then naturally those who did not follow English, they just gazed at Baba, and Baba didn't like it, because there were certain things. He didn't like people to gape at him and to adore him like that. Never. He liked people, you see. He was man amongst men. He was one of them. He liked to be close to them. He wanted them to be close, not from a distance, just to adore him. How sweet and radiant you are, and all that. He didn't like that. He said, you better go out for meditation. So he wanted somebody around him to be live and to be keen and to be close to him in whatever he said, whatever he did, everything. He wanted people to be very observant of all what he said and what he gave, in short. So he wanted each one to know what he was saying, what he wanted them to know. So naturally, people who did not know English, they had to be told in their own vernacular language. So people who knew in Hindi, they had to be, that English translate, it would be a Hindi translation of the English interpretation. Then there were people who did not know Hindi. There were Marathi people from this state, Marathi, they speak only Marathi. So well, there would be a translation in Marathi. Well, then there were people from the south, they didn't know Hindi and they didn't know Marathi. So for them, there would be a translation into Telugu. But then there is another state called Gujarati, where they didn't know all the three languages, nor English. So Gujarati was to be there. So Baba says, it's all impossible, you see, to tell you all in different languages like that. So what he said, he divided the group of his close ones into four sections. He says, you must know English, and therefore you come in the English group. You know Hindi, Urdu, and Hindi are a keen language, you see. So Hindustani would be the translation, and everybody can know. So that English, Hindi, Marathi group, and Telugu group, the four, Baba divided them into four language groups. Incidentally, I may say that no sooner he did that, there was a great upheaval in India, and there was a demand for linguistic states, you see. And there were linguistic states, there were riots. And now India is divided into linguistic states, you see. That's, we have nothing to do with that. That's politics. We should shun politics, you see.